I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 and 88.5. Time to go on the money with Chris DeSemio and his guests, Madeline Matlock.
It is not at all difficult to imagine Ben Bernanke addressing the U.S. equity markets and asking something like, was it something I said? Despite upbeat economic news released throughout the week, manufacturing in the New York region, for example, housing starts, all better than expected, the market was obsessed with the eventual unwinding of the Fed stimulus program, as hinted at and directly referred to in Wednesday's Fed minutes. And that began a 200-point downturn on Wednesday, which became a 350-point downturn on Thursday, and more volatility yesterday. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show our friend Madeline Matlock, who has been in the investment industry about 30 years now. She is one of the portfolio managers at Pioneer Investments in Boston. And thank you, Madeline, for being with us this Saturday morning.
Glad to be here, Chris. Thank you.
Yeah, Madeline, what is your assessment at this point of not only the American economy, but the global economy?
Well, things are improving.
Really?
what you're seeing in the market numbers over the last several days, the whole reason this topic came up is because the U.S. economy is improving. The easing in Japan is beginning to show its effects, and we expect to see second quarter earnings numbers out of Japan look pretty positive. And Europe is showing some very early signs of picking up. So it really is kind of an anomaly that the markets are looking so bad at the same time that the underlying fundamentals are starting to look better.
Yeah. One of the points that was referred to midweek when the markets were in not quite free fall yet, but that China's purchasing managers index had been soft. Is this indicating a slowdown in the Chinese economy, or is this just a kind of a normal soft landing sort of issue?
Well, China said very clearly several months ago that they intended to slow economic growth down. You can't have a very large economy growing at 8 to 9% a year forever. It's just not sustainable. And they were seeing signs of overheating in real estate markets, too much borrowing. They were worried about the banking system getting too strung out. So they're deliberately trying to slow things down. And that's a good thing.
Yeah. Speaking of real estate, there has been a notable and noticeable rebound in the housing markets here in the U.S. The home builder stocks have done fairly well. Manufacturing's bouncing back. Are these improvements here in the United States sustainable in your estimation?
It sure looks like it. I mean, it's been very slow and long in coming. And the Fed has carefully watched all of the indicators to make sure that the appropriate policy was in place, given the conditions, and I think they'll continue to do that. And I think it is sustainable. It's not frothy. It's not too fast. It's been built on a lot of losses that companies and real estate entrepreneurs have taken. So we're in a good place here.
What does that mean then for American investors looking just for something that's not so volatile and something, a portfolio that might be able to create rising streams of income? Does the recovery here in the U.S. have, consequences for U.S. investors? And what kind of consequences does it have for people who invest in foreign equities?
Well, I think one thing any investor in equities wants is underlying economies to be healthy. So if the U.S. economy, which is the biggest in the world, is healthy, that's a good thing for any equity investor, whether you're investing in the U.S. or overseas. And the other thing is, I think most investors have a time horizon of more than a couple of weeks, probably a time horizon of years. And volatility in that situation is not necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. It gives you opportunities to invest your money over time at attractive prices. So trying to avoid volatility and investing in markets, I think, are two things that don't really go together.
Yeah, like oil and water. What does this recent uptick in volatility signal to you? We've had several consecutive days of triple-digit moves in the Dow. This is, it has been somewhat disquieting to a number of investors. Does this uptick in volatility signal something generally positive, or is it something that might imply that there's more choppiness ahead?
Well, I don't know how to predict volatility, but I think what you're seeing at this point is that I was listening to a bond investor a couple of weeks ago be very upset at the increase in the volatility in the bond market, and everybody has run towards bonds to avoid volatility, thinking that's the smooth market. Well, bond markets can be volatile also, and what the Fed has done in their statements about tapering, the dreaded word tapering, is put the possibility of some volatility of bond markets into traders' heads. And what I think we're seeing now is that, oh boy, if the bond market's going to be volatile, what's the equity market going to be? But once again, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's normal.
Yeah. Why is it then that, you would think that with the U.S. bond markets struggling, U.S. equity markets volatile, that money has got to go somewhere. It just doesn't disappear unless you give it to our daughters at a shopping, at a mall.
Absolutely true.
So what happens? What happens then to people who say, okay, well, I'm a little nervous about the U.S. bond markets, so I'll look at these foreign bond markets or maybe emerging bond markets. Why have those been so volatile?
Well, emerging bond markets are volatile by nature. You're investing in places where there's higher risk inherent in the economy, in the financial structure in some places, in other places not. But you don't have the deep, wide, stable structure underneath the bond markets that you have in the U.S. Treasury market. They're very different animals. And if the U.S. market is getting more volatile, those markets are also getting more volatile.
Okay.
And there's also a fear, too, that the liquidity flows that the Fed has provided in its monetary easing will start to slow, which Mr. Bernanke said it will,
mm-hmm.
And that these markets may be too dependent on those liquidity flows and that they will start to see some strains on rolling over their debts.
Yeah. Are there any places in the credit markets, in the bond markets, that investors who are looking to not lose money might want to investigate? Are there foreign markets or any regions that are relatively safe harbors?
Well,
relatively.
But you have to keep in mind that the risk in bond markets is, first of all, that you will get paid back, and second of all, that you're receiving a rate of return that offsets that risk of being paid back, and also that the overall level of interest rates won't rise, which means the value of your bonds will fall. The only way I think you go from this extremely low interest rate environment that we're in, and that it's low in all the developed economies and relatively low in the developing economies as well, the only way you can avoid losing money on a bond that you bought at these very low rates is to hold it to maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if you're going to buy a bond and then hope that the price is higher 2 years from now after rates have risen maybe 0.5% or 1%, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to lose money.
Sure. And, of course, Madeline, with 10,000 people here in the United States turning age 65 each and every day, 10,000 people a day, looking for income. Many have kind of stuck their toe gingerly, perhaps, into the equity markets and into some of the more defensive names. There seems to be a rotation now out of the defensive names and into some of the industrial names going on in the U.S. Is there a global counterpart for that kind of rotation? And what kind of yields are available in the last minute and a half we have to investors looking for equity income, rising streams of income globally?
Dividends in most markets overseas are quite competitive with dividends in the U.S. The only thing you have to keep in mind is that there is a currency risk factor embodied in those dividends, but it's pretty easy to find nice, generous yields on stocks, both in European and in some Asian markets. So income can come from those sources with an eye towards making sure you're not taking too much currency risk. But also consider that you're starting to build income in a market where yields have been pretty low. So equities may be your best crack at it, but you have to have a very diversified group of stocks and not depend on any one industry group or any one type of stock, and I would say not any one geography as well.
Mm-hmm. Very good advice again. Well, Madeline Matlock from Pioneer Investments, I want to thank you so much for being with us this weekend.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Chris DeSimio on The Money.